Well, good morning and welcome to Alive. We're so glad to have each and every one of you guys joining us here on this Sunday morning. And I got a question for you. Have you ever noticed that what your heart is for, you're close to? Some of you guys may have experienced this on your way in this morning. If your heart is close to coffee, you ran to that coffee maker, or you got in that Starbucks line, or you find yourself often at coffee shops. Why? Because your heart is for it, right? What about your favorite team, right? Some of you guys have your heart for a favorite team, a sports team, right? If your heart, amen. Yeah, I see a lot of gear and all that stuff today. Yeah, it's Sunday, right? If your heart is for it, you're close to it. You got the schedule. You know who they're playing, right? You prioritize it. Your heart's close to it. You could take that into our relationships too. If your heart is close and you love your spouse or you love your kids or you love your dog or your pets, you're close to them, right? When your heart is for something, it's close to it. And the same is true when it comes to God's house. If your heart is for God's house, it's going to be close to it. But I believe that the Lord and his word even encourage us to go deeper than that. The psalmist David takes it a step deeper with a promise from God's word. And I want to read this. This is our text for today. We're going to keep it really simple, but really powerful today. We're going to hang out in one text today. It's in Psalm 92, verse 13. Psalm 92, verse 13. Many of you guys are familiar with this passage, but I believe God is going to speak fresh breath and fresh light on this and what our context looks like for this. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, "For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." It says, "For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." David brings up this concept of not just being close to God's house, but being planted in God's house. And I want to explore the deeper meaning of this and this promise that God gives us and what that looks like practically for our lives and our worship and in our context, even here at Alive. And so I want to give a message. It'll be shorter today. Help me, hold me accountable to that, please. Titled, "Those Who Are Planted." So if you're taking notes today, the title of my message is "Those Who Are Planted." We're going to look at what happens when those of us who are planted in God's house. And I pray when we leave today, that we'd all have a better understanding of what it means to be planted in the house of the Lord and have a heart for God's house and know practically what that looks like in our own lives, what our next steps are to further plant, to put down roots, to grow, to cultivate our families here in the soil of God's house. And so if you guys would you join me for a moment of prayer as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from God's word this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. As we open up the holy scriptures this morning, Lord, this promise jumps off the page at us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for revelation, light, knowledge, and understanding today, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, and what are the glorious riches and the inheritance in the saints, and what is your exceeding greatness that works towards us who believe, Lord God. We pray that our hearts would not just be close to your house, Lord God, but our hearts would be planted. Lord God, show us what that means. Lead us and guide us and exhort us in the way that we should go today. We thank you for the word of God. It is a lamp to our feet, and it is a light to our path, and it shows us where to go. Father, we thank you that we can receive all that heaven wants us to receive today by faith in advance, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. And so Psalm 92, verse 13, there's a lot packed into this one small scripture verse. And there's a lot that we could talk about this morning, but I want to highlight three words or three phrases from this scripture that I believe will help bring this concept of being planted in God's house more real to us. The first one is this. Number one, planted. Everyone say planted. Let's take a look at our text again with that word planted. Psalm 92, verse 13, "For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." So God, through the psalmist David, gives us an invitation to be planted in his house. And I think that's a cool thing to know, but we got to understand what this concept of planted means if we're ever going to attain to that or ever experience what I believe the Heavenly Father wants you and I to experience in his house. And so the Hebrew word for planted means to firmly establish. Planted, to be planted in something means to be firmly established in it. It also has this connotation of being intentionally placed. So if we're planted, we are intentionally placed. Placed by who? Placed by God. We've said it for all 8 years that we've been a church plant here in Livingston County, that we believe the truth of God's word. And we see this, we've held onto this scripture many seasons in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. All of you are the fruit of this scripture. And the scripture says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Did you know that God sets or places you in the body of Christ, in his house, in his church? God knows where we need to be planted, and God knows where we can grow best. Amen? He is the head of the church, and he knows what church local representation we need to be a part of to grow, right? And so he wants us to be planted. If God leads you to a local church and you bear witness with the vision and the mission and you feel like this is a home church, God desires for you to plant in it. He wants you to do that. We see that through his word. Now, what's the deal with planting though? We got to realize that there's something deeper than just the planting, because here's the deal. God wants us to put down roots and grow. Everyone say roots. The planting is actually about the roots. This image of being planting and planted in this scripture comes from our ancient agrarian culture, which many of us understand this, that trees thrived long-term when they were planted and actually had a deep root system, right? God wants us to have a deep root system. You see, a plant grows where it's rooted, amen? A plant grows where it's rooted, and the same thing is true with people. People grow where we are rooted or where we are planted. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. This concept of being rooted and built up in Christ, it's important that we plant because we need good roots. Amen? And here's the key here on this point here, and it's this: those who are planted put down roots so that they can grow. Those of us that are planted, what are we doing? We're putting down roots so that we can grow spiritually and in every area of our life. And usually the deeper the roots, the more we can grow. Deeper the roots, the healthier the fruit, right? Deeper the roots, the more stability when shaky seasons come and attacks come, right? Or in the sense of nature, windstorms or severe weather or whatnot. The deeper the root system, the stronger the plant and the tree, right? And so what does this look like for you and I in God's house? When we're talking about God's house, planting in God's house, planting in God's church, right? Couple things here. Number one, I think we're encouraged to make an intentional decision. Make an intentional decision to plant or not to plant. But I think by the end of today's message, I hope you'd see it's not a healthy thing to not plant. We want to plant. God wants us to plant, right? And here's what I've learned. Planting doesn't happen on accident. You intentionally plant roots in a body of believers. And so in Growth Track, many of you guys hear about this every single week. If you're newer to our church, or maybe you've been for a while and you've never went through Growth Track. In step one, we have the mission, the vision, the heartbeat of the church, and you actually have an opportunity digitally. This has all happened online to self-express that I am going to make Alive Family Church my home church. I'm going to plant my life, my family, my relationship in this church body, this body of believers. You do that all digitally. We don't have an official membership class. That happens there. We believe you're a member if you're loving, serving, and giving. If you're planted in the house of the Lord, guess what? Welcome to membership, right? There's no four gold stars or a little printed piece of paper. Sorry, we don't give that to you, amen? I don't think it's necessary. I think it's a heart thing. God always looks at the heart. Are you planted here? Which means you're putting down roots, right? Because when you get planted, your perspective of your local church changes. It's no longer that church or the church. It's my church. Amen? It's my body of believers. It's my fellow believers. It's my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? When we plant, we can put down roots. So we need to make an intentional decision. And if you're on the fence there, I really encourage you, hey, go through step one of Growth Track. You can do it at your own pace, and there's no pressure to fill that out. But at the end of it, you'll have an opportunity digitally to say, I'm with you, or I got questions, or I want to meet with somebody, or whatever. But you can. It's just a significant spiritual step to say, I'm kind of here, and I've been coming for a while, and now I am going to plant. There's just something intentional about that. I'm going to dig down deeper. I'm going to put that seed down deeper. And I know that those roots now can grow deeper and build something beautiful. Amen? So make an intentional decision. Another thing this looks like practically is attend consistently. Attend the house. Attend the house of the Lord consistently, right? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord are faithful attenders, not occasional bystanders, right? It's not when you feel like it, or maybe when you got enough sleep, or your favorite team. It's like, no, this is a priority in my life. I am going to be a part of this. Jesus is building the church. He's building me. I'm a part of the church, and I am going to consistently show up, right? That's the only way a plant can grow deep roots. Can you imagine if you planted a seed, waited a week, oh, it's starting to form roots, pulled it out, ripped up the roots, put it back down. That's not healthy, right? But I think a lot of our church attendance patterns or our spiritual pedigree, so to speak, is like we're here for one season, then we're here for another season, we're here, and there's all seasons to ministry, don't get me wrong. And God places the members in the body, and I know there's different reasons for leaving or coming or going, but man, if you want spiritual growth in your life, God is exhorting us today. He's reminding us as a promise today that, man, we need to plant. And we show up consistently, right? Because when you don't show up, the church doesn't show up, amen? The church is not the building or the service time or the parking lot. The church is us, the people, amen? And so when we show up, we're building what Jesus is building like we talked about last week. And then the last thing here is if you're like, hey, I'm showing up. I already did Growth Track. How can I plant deeper? I would encourage you, engage more in the life of the church. Engage more in the life of the church. What does that mean? Get more involved. Sign up for a crew. Get in a small group and make this big gathering less intimidating and get to know some people more than surface level. Do life together. Have some discipleship together, right? Maybe you go through Growth Track, you get through step two, you go to step three, and you jump on the Alive team. You begin to serve together and be a part of the serve team. Maybe you take a Bible basics class in January, right? And when we do the basics classes three times a year live, and you study the word, you go deeper, you put down deeper roots in the word of God. Maybe you begin to put your treasure in God's house, like we talked about last week. You begin to give financially to the mission vision here at Alive. Maybe you become a participant and not just a spectator or a consumer. Amen. These are all ways that we can plant in the house of the Lord. Guys, there's power in the planting. Can I get an amen? There's power in that. And in the right soil, mind you, which is where we're going to talk about next, leads me to my next part of the scripture. Number two, house of the Lord. Let's talk about the house of the Lord for a second. Psalm 92, verse 13. Those who are planted in where? The house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Guys, God's design has always been for his people to be planted in his house. In his house. Now, the house of the Lord in this context in the Old Testament in Psalms refers to the temple. Back then they had the temple, right? The visible dwelling place where God and his glory dwelled. In the Old Testament, it might have been known as the temple, but here in our context today, it's the church. It's your local church. It's the body of Christ, right? And growth and flourishing isn't found in isolation, but in community, spiritual community in God's house. That's how God designed it from the very beginning. And you see, the location that you plant something matters. The location that you plant something matters, right? The soil that you plant in is super important to the growth and the health of the plant. Here's the key here. Those who are planted in God's house are in the right soil to grow. When we plant in God's house, we put ourselves in the right soil with the right nutrients needed to grow spiritually. Man, I love God's house. I love his bride. I love his church. I love the soil of God's house and the rich nutrients that it has, the power and presence of God that we can experience here on Sunday mornings, right? The word of God that changes our life, the worship and the glory that we can give to the one that deserves it, the community that can happen in that soil, right? The accountability that can happen in that soil, the discipleship that happens in that soil. That is the right soil for us to grow up spiritually. But here's what I've noticed. So many people want to grow spiritually, but they don't plant themselves in the right soil. They don't plant themselves in the right soil. They don't surround themselves consistently with the right nutrients and conditions for the most possible growth. And I think it's important for us to have a John Madden moment this morning on Sunday. John Madden was like stating the obvious. Well, all they need to do is score a touchdown. No kidding, John. We understand. It's important to note that in this scripture, it doesn't say those who are planted in bed flourish. Now, y'all, I'm preaching to the choir here because you made it. Amen? I'm preaching to the second choir. You made it to the couch. Praise God. No, I love you guys. I'm lying. And the ones that aren't listening here, that's for them. Amen? Those who are planted in bed flourish. No, those that are planted in sports arenas and fields so flourish in the courts of our God. It doesn't say that. Those that are planted in our work email or extra hours at the office on Sunday morning are flourishing with God. No, it doesn't say any of that. It says those that are planted where? In the house of the Lord, in God's house, in his temple, in his church shall flourish. And guys, this is true for us adults, but this is also true for our kids. If I can go off on just a little rabbit trail here just for a second, all right? Our kids are surrounded by the right soil spiritually when we bring them to the house of God consistently. But when they don't make it here, we are playing with fire. We are uprooting them from the soil and the nutrients needed to have a heart that loves God and loves his house. We must be careful what we prioritize on Sunday mornings. Can I talk about youth sports culture for just a second? Uh-oh, yeah. And here's the deal. A lot of you guys know me. I'm an athlete. I grew up playing sports. I love sports. I'm not anti-sports. Our kids play sports. I love the life lessons that sports teaches an individual. Teamwork and dedication and hard work and pushing through adversity. Guess what? That's life training. I love the lessons that come from it. But when we prioritize that over God's house and God's word and God's worship of God, we again, like I said, begin to play with fire in our child's life. Because we begin to communicate that something is more important than getting to God's house on Sunday morning. Something is more important to strive after and chase after than the presence of the Lord. And that in a young brain over time can multiply into a wayward heart that grew up in a Christian home that does not nothing to do with God or his house. When those sports and those activities and those extracurriculars begin to take the place of worship on Sunday morning, we begin to have an idol that is different from God, something that is different than we begin to worship. And the culture knows this, and the enemy knows this. And so what used to be taboo back in the day when everything shut down on Sunday, now it's just another day to hustle, work, 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 grind, 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 and fit in all the activities. And it's eroding the moral fabric of our nation. I'm not saying just sports are doing this. This is everything that we put before God. But here's what I know. It's hard to have deep roots and grow spiritually when you aren't planted in the soil consistently. And so if sports is leading us away or activities are leading us away, we got to be careful with that. I grew up, I experienced this personally. A lot of you guys know some of my story. My place of worship, my temple had a hardwood floor growing up. Worship sounded like dribbling basketballs and whistles and scoreboard buzzers. Sub, sub, sub. And I'll tell you what, that was the soil that my life was planted in. I did not attend many Sunday morning services from middle school through high school at all. I was in a gymnasium worshiping a false god. And I'll tell you what, I was planted in that soil, and guess what? I got a lot of great basketball skills and opportunities. Don't get me wrong, I love that. But I didn't grow in my faith a lick. I didn't know God. I didn't have an affinity for God. I didn't have a love for God. I definitely didn't love his house. David said this in Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. My attitude is exactly opposite. Maybe you grew up like that too. When your parents say it's time to go to church, you're like, heck no. I didn't want to go because I didn't learn to love it. And I was taught that I could prioritize something above that. And that was okay. It was really hard until God intervened in my life to even have any ounce of affinity and love for God. I was mad and I was disinterested when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so we got to be careful. And we got to be careful about this sports thing here. You guys have heard the statistic and whatnot, but maybe if we have it for the slide here, I just think it's worth mentioning. There is a 0.0296% chance that your child will become a professional athlete. 0.02%. But there's a 100% chance that your child will stand before Jesus someday. And that is super challenging and heartbreaking. Because can I be real? Like the system's built against us. But I don't want my kid to miss out. I don't want my kid to fall behind. I don't want a kid not be able to play with his friends. And so that's what we do. The cool things on Sunday, right? I'm not knocking this. I love the NFL Flag Football League, but guess when their games are? Right now. I was on the website the other day. I got stumbled on the website and it had this picture of these really cute kids with flags and footballs and it said in the middle, chase something. And I grieved. My spirit grieved. I said, yeah, that's right. Chasing something, but not God. I said, my goodness, God, may we have a hunger and a passion and a thirst for our hearts and the next generation to be in God's house, to be planted in God's house. Because here's what we know the word says, Matthew 16:26, and what do you do benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is it anything worth more than your soul? Let's not help our kids or this next generation gain the whole world but lose their souls. Amen? And so we have to take a stand. We have to do things differently, right? We have to have a heart for God's house. We have to be planted in it. We have to understand that, man, God wants us to plant in the house. That means showing up consistently and fighting for the regular, consistent attendance to be in God's presence. Amen? But the third thing that I think we need to understand about this is, man, God never gives us a promise without a blessing. God is a good father. Amen? He's not trying to micromanage our life or steal all the fun out of our life. He wants what's best for his kids. Amen? And so the third thing that we see here, number three, the third word is flourish. Everyone say flourish. Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14, the verse after that. For those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Man, Psalm 92, an interesting fact about Psalm 92, it's known as a Sabbath psalm. A Sabbath psalm. What is that all about? It's the only psalm in the Bible specifically labeled as a psalm for the Sabbath day, for God's people. And a lot of you guys are familiar with the concept of Sabbath. Sabbath represented rest. It represents renewal. It represents refreshing. It represents reconnection with God, which parallels to the house of God. It's meant for, God's house is meant for that for us as believers. It's our fill-up tank. It's our once a week, come on, let's fill up spiritually. Let's encourage the body so we can go out and be the body, amen? Like you gotta get filled up. You gotta get tapped off. You gotta get in God's presence so you can be godly to people throughout the week. Can I get an amen? It's a tough world and culture out there, right? You skip a week, you skip another week, you go on this, you sign up for this, I'm gone for this many weeks, and all of a sudden you're feeling a little spiritually dry and you're wondering why. Because God says, get to my house so you can flourish. There's a lot of terms here we see in these scriptures. Flourishing in the Hebrew means to thrive, to blossom, and to break forth abundantly. To thrive, to blossom, and to break forth abundantly. In the courts of our God. Well, what does that mean? I know it's not the basketball court. The courts of our God refer to the public places of worship back and then in the temple. There's the inner court, the outer court, and all of that. And so it was public. This flourishing is meant not to be hidden so that nobody sees it. It's meant for others to be able to see how much different, how much fresh and flourishing your life is. It's powerful. And it mentions in verse 14, fresh and flourishing. This fresh term in the Hebrew means full of sap. It means a tree that's hardy, it's vigorous, it's green, it's symbolizing spiritual vitality. So those of us that plant in God's house will be full of spiritual vitality, will be fresh, will be flourishing, right? And it says we'll bear fruit. The cool thing about planting, it isn't just about the root. Guess what it's about? The fruit. Thank you, Dr. Seuss. Praise God. It ain't just about the root, it's about the fruit. God wants you to bear fruit. And I love it. It's a multi-generational thing. This isn't just for one age and stage of life. This promise of God is true for any season, any age demographic, anywhere you find yourself, this applies to you. That if you can plant your life, your house in God's house, you can be fresh and flourishing. It says, even in your old age. Can I speak to the old agers today? Amen. If you self-identify as old age, all right, there's no shame or judgment or condemnation on that. You are still able to be fresh and flourishing even in your latter days. Come on, somebody. If you're still breathing, if you still got a pulse, if you still got a heartbeat, then God's got a plan and purpose for your life. Don't let your age and your stage shrink you back, but lean into God's gifting, God's plan on your life. We need all generations lifting hands and showing the next generation how to do it. Come on, somebody. And so there's a place and a space for every generation here to bear fruit, from the baby all the way up to the retiree and the empty nester and everywhere in between. Come on, somebody. God wants us to bear fruit. So bear fruit. For your kids, for your kids' kids, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, a legacy. God wants you to leave a legacy. And guys, there's even health benefits with going to God's house. Check this out. I talked about this, I think, in January of this year. So if you're with us for that Revive Me series, you might have heard this. But interesting enough, sadly enough, average churchgoer only attends church 1 to 2 times a month. They consider that like really good attendance, 1 to 2 times a month. But there was a study done on the blue zones around the world. Some of you guys may have seen the documentary on this or whatnot. The blue zones are the 7 places across the world where people live to be over 100 years old. And they're the healthiest people on earth. And they did a study. They leaned into what were their life like, what were some key components of their life. And in all 7 zones where they had extended life, faith was one of those components that contributed to their longevity. But they took it even further. They took data. They actually studied this. They said that if you attend a faith service every week for a month, that it can extend your life expectancy from 4 to 14 years, and they have data to prove it. Someone turn to your neighbor and say, it's good for your health to be here today. It's good for your health to be in church today. Come on, somebody. Who's glad they came? Come on, right? Yeah, you might got those pills to take away the edge of the pain, but we got those gospels. You know what I'm talking about? It heals you. It sets you free. Come on, somebody. Glad you're still awake out there. I needed a laugh. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, Paul says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Even though your outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Sunday by Sunday, month by month, our inward man, the real us behind our eyeballs, our spirit man, is being renewed day by day. Here's the key here. Those who are planted flourish and bear fruit in every season. God wants you to flourish and bear fruit in every season of your life. And here's what I've realized and settled in my own heart. Maybe you guys can agree with this. Psalm 92 isn't a suggestion. It's a roadmap. It's a promise of God. It's not a if you do that. It is God's best for us to plant in his house. Planted people flourish. Planted families flourish. Planted marriages flourish. Planted finances flourish. Planted giftings flourish. Planted callings flourish. Planted lives flourish. When we plant, every areas of our life can thrive, can blossom, can break forth abundantly when we choose to intentionally plant and put down roots in God's house. Let's remind ourselves of what the Word of God says. Psalm 92:13. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. The church isn't just a place where you go. It's a place where you grow. Amen? It's not just somewhere you go. It's where you grow. It's the local church isn't just a place to visit. Remember, it's the soil of God that we can plant our lives with the right nutrients to get those roots down deep and to get that plant growing up. where you and I can deepen our spiritual roots and have spiritual fruit in our lives, and every part of our life can be fresh and flourishing. I pray that you leave today feeling fresh and flourishing, that you came to God's house, you lifted up your hands and your voice to him, you opened up his word, you exhorted one another and encouraged one another. That's what the body does. And you leave this place better than when you came in. That's what God wants. Let's not make this an afterthought if it fits into our week. Let's make this a priority that, man, I am going to stay planted no matter what it takes. I'm gonna plant my house, my marriage, my relationship, my kids, my family in the house of the Lord. And God promises that I will be fresh and flourishing. Can I get a good amen on Sunday morning in church? And all of this is promised to those who are planted. Let's go to God and let him just speak to our hearts for a moment, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your presence and your word today. So simple, yet so powerful. Those that are planted in your house, Lord, you promised that we would flourish. Flourish, Lord God, in every area of our life. And so, Father, if there's areas of our life that aren't flourishing, Lord God, we thank you that you are the answer. You are the remedy. You, Father, are what we need. And so, Father God, I just pray that you would speak individually to each heart in this place and even online. Lord God, if we aren't planted, if we need to be intentional, if we need to take a further, deeper step, Lord God, I ask you for the boldness of what we need to do to be obedient to this word today, Father God, that you just meet us with the courage necessary to take a step forward or to plant roots deeper. Father God, or to take it another step, Father God, whatever you're leading us and guiding us today, Father, we just thank you for your goodness, that you have good plans for us, Lord God, and that those who are planted, help us not just occasionally attend, but those that are planted in your house, in your church, shall flourish. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that word. All demons in hell. Father, we just thank you that you are pushing back darkness today. You are revealing truth and shining light into hearts today. And Father God, as we respond with obedience to your Holy Spirit's nudgings, I thank you that there's freshness and flourishing and fruit on the other end of our obedience today. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agreed, said, amen.